I can be hands-free then. I like being hands-free. I really enjoyed that. I really did. I tell you, to be able to hear music, song, without the music behind it, it was really great. You know, sometimes, you know, we sit there and we have all these pianos and organs and drums and guitars and everything, and they're nice. And I praise people that are thankful for the people that can play them. But because I couldn't carry a tune on that piano if I wanted to. But I'm so glad to hear the voices. You know, you actually hear the songs, and I'm so glad to hear that this morning. It was beautiful. It really was. This morning, I want to say appreciate the privilege of being here. It's really an honor. I told Keith back in the middle of the week, if there's anything I can do for him, just let me know, you know, whatever it is. Well, sometimes you got to be careful with it when you say that. Because sometimes people hold you to it. You know, a lot of times, you know, people say, well, we appreciate it, and then you never hear anything back. Well, Keith did, which was fine. I meant what I said, though. I meant what I said. If it was anything I could do for him, just let me know. And he did. So just a little thought there. This morning, I want to talk about one of my favorite people in the Bible. And the reason he's one of my favorite people is because he was unwavering in his belief, unwavering for his love for God. He was unwavering in his ability to stand against temptation. No matter what happened, he was always faithful. And this man, it's a lot of times I don't think gets enough credit in the scriptures. Because I think that a lot of times people just think, you know, well, this man was who he was, and that's it. But I just think he has been a big part of all of our lives, in our Christian lives, as from time we were little children. And that man is Daniel. I think Daniel, you know, the fortitude that he showed, the strength that he showed during his life here on this earth, and what he had to endure, and what he stood up for was a wonderful thing that he did, because he just taught me so much of how that if I put my trust in God, God is faithful. Just like the song we were singing here, Lord, God is faithful. God is faithful. But we're going to talk about this morning, we're going to talk about Daniel when he was facing the lion's den. And to give a little background, and I know everybody knows the story, but I'm going to go ahead and tell some of the story before we get to the scriptures. Daniel, of course, we know Daniel was a Jew. Daniel was a man that was captured by the, Babylonians. He was captured, and he was in prison. But Daniel was a man that, even though he was in prison in a foreign country, and he was a Jew, and he believed in God, and these people didn't, he stood out. And that's one thing that we have to always remember, even though no matter where we're at, you know, whether we're at Walmart, Food Line, Target, wherever we're, well, I'm not going to be in Target, but anyway, any of the place we are going to be in our lives, there's a lot of times we're going to be surrounded by people that aren't Christians. We really are. Because this world today seems like, you look at the churches, you see less and less cars in a church parking lot than you used to. So we're going to be surrounded more about people who don't believe that they're God, or maybe believe but don't want to participate. So we have to be willing to be able to stand out like Daniel. Even though he was in a foreign country, he was under foreign rule, they believed in idol worship, they worshiped idols, and they worshiped other things besides God. But the people always came to know Daniel's God, who Daniel's God was. And that is so wonderful, because he made a difference by the way he stood. It's not about so much by the way how much what he said or what he taught or anything like that. It was more about what he took a stance for. And a lot of times that's all we have to do is just make a stance and stay. It used to be an old saying that it said, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And that is so true. When you make a stance, make that stance and stand for it. And make sure that you're not just falling for anything that comes by that sounds good or whatever like that. If it's in the Bible, you need to stand by it. And if it's in God's Word, you need to stand by it daily. But Daniel was captured, and Daniel was sent over to Babylonian, and had King Belshazzar, I hope I'm saying that right, but he found favor. Of course, we had Nebuchadnezzar before that, and Daniel found favor in front and with Nebuchadnezzar. Then Belshazzar, he found favor. Daniel found favor with him, and he was made governor over the land. And actually, there was a lot of princesses and governors. He was made head of all of them, even though he was a Jew, and he was under captivity because they had been captured by the Babylonians. But yet he still found favor because he made a stance. Well, once one night, Belshazzar decided he was going to have a party. And in his party, he decided he was going to use some of the things that they had captured from Jerusalem, some of God's golden goblets and things like that, in his party. Well, when he did that, he didn't find favor in God. And they were drinking wine from the worship from the goblets that were taken out of the temple in Jerusalem. And when they were sitting there drinking, all of a sudden, their hand, a hand, appeared on a wall. Now, I don't know about you, but if I just saw a hand, I mean just this, not an arm, not a body attached to it, just a hand, it'd get my attention real quick. Even that, it might make me run. I don't know. I don't know what it would have done. But it just started writing. It just started writing. And the king, of course, he was afraid when he saw this hand, and he sat there and he wanted to know what this hand meant. He didn't know what it meant. He just wanted to know what it meant. So he pulled all his sorcerers and his soothsayers and magicians and everything in for them to interpret to writing on the wall. And none of them could. Well, he pulled in Daniel, and Daniel came in and told him what the interpretation was. He said, King, you have been found wanting. You have been found wanting. And tonight is to be your last night. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't want anybody to interpret to me that I've been found wanting. Because I want to be able to, when then God comes to judge me, I want God to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter in. I don't want him to say, I find you wanting in your life. And that king that night died. He was slain. He was taken over. He was taken over. And King Darius took over. Now, King Darius was also the type of person, he found favor in Daniel. And he made Daniel governor and over all the other princesses and governors of the land. And he found favor in Daniel. But there were other people that didn't like Daniel. You know, we found out that, when somebody gets to really doing something good, wonderful for God and maybe have a great ministry or a great music ministry or a great teaching ministry or something like that, you find people that get jealous. Now, us as Christians, we should not get jealous if somebody, if God is blessing somebody. We really shouldn't. We should be just overjoyed for them that God is using them. But people do get jealous over the things that people are doing for God sometimes. And these people were jealous of Daniel, before, first of all, because he was not one of them. He was a Jew. And second of all, he was finding favor above them. So when Daniel was sitting there and he was after he interpreted, he was made governor and princess again, the people wanted to conspire against him. And if you turn to your Bible to Daniel chapter 6, Daniel chapter 6, we're going to start with verse 10, and we're going to read the story here that really inspires me sometimes, because it lets me know what kind of God I serve. And it's a God that I want to continue to serve the rest of my days. Starting in verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writings was signed, he went into his house, and his windows opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Now these people had talked to the king, and they had wanted a decree signed that you could not ask for anything, to any man, to any god, to anything at all, except for King Darius. And if you did, you were found to be guilty of a crime. And that was to last for 30 days. And when Daniel had heard this, Daniel was not going to quit praying. He was not. Because it says here that he did the same thing that he did in aforetime. He didn't change. Just because there was a law in the land said that he could not ask or could not pray, he continued praying. Now I know we sing a song that says Daniel prayed morning, noon, and night. I don't know when Daniel prayed. It just said three times a day. And I'm glad that Daniel prayed three times a day. I'm glad that he was able to pray three times a day. But he prayed, even though there was a decree saying that he could not pray. He was disobeying his king, but he was not disobeying his God. You know, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, there's a lot of things that you and I cannot accomplish without prayer and fasting. When Jesus was talking to the disciples and he was telling them, and the disciples were asking him, he said, "How can you do all these things? We want to be able to do these things as you were doing." He said, "A lot of the things that I accomplish, I could not accomplish without prayer and fasting." Well, Daniel was praying, and he was continuing to pray. You know, when I sit there and I think about when Daniel was praying, I don't know what he was praying about, but Daniel prayed continually all the time. You know, and I think that that's what I think that is such an example for our lives, is to be in continuous prayer. The Bible tells us to be in continuous prayer, not always on our knees praying all the time, but that continuous mind, that continuous thought of prayer always. And when Daniel prayed, he probably prayed because he knew things were going to come against him. He knew the situation sometimes, and we all know that too. There's always, you know, things are going to not go our way. We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through tribulations. We're going to go through things. That's why it's so important for us to have a good prayer life, because that way we stay in touch with God continuously. And then when we come knocking on God's door with prayer, when times get rough, God is not saying, "Who is this? I haven't heard from this person in a while." You know, if I call somebody up on the phone and I ain't talked to them 2 or 3 years, and I just say, "Hey, how you doing?" They're going to say, "Who is this?" You know, and if I don't talk to God continuously, or, you know, go wait for, you know, only hard times to come, and then all of a sudden 2 years later I need God and I start praying, "Who are you?" You know, he knows who I am, but I'm just using it as an example. I want God to know who I am every day, because he hears my prayers, just like Daniel. And it says, Then men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or any man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. The king answered and said, this thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. So that decree was there, and there was no change in it, no matter who it was. No matter who was being found at fault, there was no change in it. That decree was law. It was the truth. And it says in verse 13, then answered they and said it before the king, that Daniel, which is the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth thee not, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Three times a day he made his petition before his God. You know, you can pray as much as you want. You can pray three times a day. You can pray 10 times a day. I don't care. You know, Daniel prayed three times. Three times a day sounds good to me. But, you know, we just have to make sure that we pray. And I'm talking about it like Daniel prays. Daniel had his windows open, and he had the window open towards Jerusalem, and he got down on his knees, it said. I was talking to a gentleman several weeks ago, and I almost cried when I heard this testimony that he gave about his grandfather. His grandfather was born in 1879, and he lived to be 105 years old. So he died in 1984, and he got to know his grandfather. This man is older than I am. He got to know his grandfather, and his grandfather was a wonderful Christian man, very devoted to his church, to his community, loved the Lord, taught his children, you know, everything there was and grandchildren about God. And when he died, he lived in the same house for, I think they said, 80 plus years in Richmond. They said when he died, they went into the house, and nobody knew this, except for maybe his wife, who had died many years before that. But in his house, he had a closet in his bedroom. And they went into that closet, and they opened the door. Well, there was nothing there. No shelves, no hangers, no bars for hangers or anything like that, except for there was a chair in that closet. And then in front of that chair, you could see two worn spots in the wooden floor where he kneeled and prayed. And they said that he had spent so much time on his knees praying that he actually wore a groove in the wood by being on his knees praying. That's dedication, that he had a place where he prayed. Even though he was 105 years old, they said he still went into that closet and he prayed, because he found a need for prayer. Look, he had children. We all have children. We all have grandchildren. Some of y'all might have great-grandchildren. There's always a need for prayer. Always. Because we want to see our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We want to see them grow up to serve God and be wonderful people in the church and in the community. So there's always a reason for prayer. But in verse 14 it says, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Darius had realized he had made a mistake. He had realized he had made a mistake by making this decree. And then when they found Daniel breaking the decree, he was laboring hard to make sure to free Daniel from this situation. Because he loved Daniel. Darius loved Daniel. And he said he worked hard until sundown to deliver him. And then in verse 15, then these men See, there's always people that want, that no matter what, they want to, they just want Daniel. They wanted him. Said, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, now, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said, and listen to this very carefully. And then the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thy service continually, he will deliver thee. Now this is King Darius, who is throwing Daniel into the lion's den. He's telling Daniel, your God, that you continue to service all the time, he will, not he might, I hope he does, you know, or anything like that, he will deliver you. Now that shows a lot of faith in Darius there, that I don't know if Darius was scared or if he had that much faith. I don't know, but he said these words, that he will deliver you. That he had that much faith in Daniel's God that he would deliver. And in verse 17, and it says, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of the Lord's, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went into the place, his palace, and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He had a rough night because he was guilty. He knew he was in trouble, and he was worried about Daniel. Look, the punishment, when they threw you into the lion's den, it was certain death. It was certain death. I mean, you know, they were probably kept hungry, so that anytime anybody got thrown in there, they were just devoured immediately. I mean, it was certain death, and the king was worried. But it says in verse 19, then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, who thou servest continually, here's that word again, continually, able to deliver thee from the lions. And in verse 21, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Daniel spoke back, ain't our God good? Ain't our God good? God is able to deliver us from even from the mouths of hungry lions. You know, in the times when we sit in our lives and we find ourselves in the deepest valleys, and we all been there. We've all been there. When times have just seemed hard, troubled, you don't know what to do. But there's things that we can remember about Daniel praying. And just like Darius said to him, the God that you serve continually serving your God. God is able to take us from the lowest valley and put us on the highest mountaintop. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what sickness you're having, no matter what troubles you are facing in your life, God is still able. We've been sitting here praying this whole week for Brother Keith that God would deliver him. Yes, he had to have surgery, but that's okay. God delivered him. God has sent him home, and he is doing that, got him through it. He's got still recovery to do, but God is going to make him get through it. God is going to help him because of our continuous prayers and his continuous prayers. and him serving his God continually. And that's what is so important in our lives today. We have to serve God continually, without pause, without stop, without delay. Serving God continuously and praying continuously to get through the times that when we have those times. You know, Daniel's life was probably pretty good right before this. I mean, Daniel was, you know, and do we ever find ourselves sometimes if everything is going just hunky-dory, no problems, if everything in the family is going good, you might sometimes find your prayer life get a little slack. I know I have. I'll admit it. Then all of a sudden, when trouble starts coming, boy, the first thing you want to do is hit your knees and start praying. But I think that if we continue to do like Daniel and pray daily, the hard times might not be as hard as we think they are, or could be. You know, it's just like we you know. I don't know how many of you are on medication. I know I am. I take medication for things. You know, doctor told me I have to take these medicines. They'll help me. And I try to take them faithfully every day so that I won't have a problem later down the road. Sometimes we can think of prayer as a medication in our spiritual lives. Keep us spiritually ready all times and be prepared. You know, I always want to be prepared for what is coming, for what God has for me. You know, I don't want to give Satan credit. I really don't. Because I don't want him to think he is doing something. You know, Jesus defeated Satan on that cross. Amen. On that cross, Satan was defeated. But we're still going to have trials and tribulations that come against us. You know, it would be like Job. Job had a very great trial, but it was only because God allowed it. Satan had to get God's permission to be able to test Job. And that's what I want to think, how I want to think of it is with us today. Think of my servant, Job. Think of my servant that is sitting here in this church this morning. They'll stand because they pray. And they pray continuously, and they serve me continually. Thank you all for letting me be here this morning and be able to speak to you. It's been a great honor and a great pleasure. I hope I was able to say something that will bless you in your life, and maybe think about Daniel every once in a while and say, man, when things get rough, I want to keep my prayer life going, keep my prayer life in check, you know. Set aside time. Set certain times during the day if you can. I know we have busy lives. We always seem like we got 100 things going around all the time. This weekend we had the grandchildren and kids there all weekend. Loved it. They're on the way home. Thank God. They've been there since Wednesday. I love them. I'll continue to love them. But when you're used to be you and your wife in peace and quiet, and then all of a sudden you have 5 days of, I want this, I want that, and nothing but say happy, and it gets kind of on your nerves after a while. But I'm going to pray for them as they go home this weekend, today, and hope they have a safe trip to Charlotte. Brother Barron, I'm going to turn it back over to you.